Tampa!
Bang!
Tampa!
Bang!
Oh my gosh, the boys and I are so pumped up. We cannot believe our Buccaneers Monday Night Football against the Eagles in the playoffs. They put it all together, guys. They
cry,
put together the whole package.
Eagles cry on the road to losing streaks.
What a losing streak for the Eagles. And I know that's what everybody's talking about. Everybody's talking about Sirianni. Everybody's talking about the Eagles. But let's talk about the Bucs, huh?
Yeah.
We're a Tampa-based podcast. The national media can talk about the Eagles and their collapse. But we got to talk about how great the Bucs were. The
Baker, Bucs, dog. KJ Britt, dog.
KJ Britt. KJ Britt and Gaines, the nose
tackle.
Oh,
my gosh. Gaines
stopped the tush push. We stopped the tush push.
Yeah. It's not even a hot take. Greg Gaines and Jason Kelsey's career right there. He jumped under him and ended it right there. That was when Kelsey knew it's over.
Unsuccessful. Only two unsuccessful tush pushes this season. Both happened at the Ray J by the Bucks.
Yeah.
Booyah.
So the Bucks are big time winners over the Eagles, 32-9. What a showing from Baker Mayfield. Huge game, big touchdown passes. Could have had more. I mean, he set a record for Buccaneers passing yards, breaking Brady's records. And if you think about it, he had two big passes to Mike. Unfortunately, Mike didn't come up with them.
He dropped them.
I know. That you're looking at probably a 400-yard game.
Oh, yeah.
So we are so excited about the Bucs, but we got a lot of other things to talk about. We're going to have a segment with Brother Tyler. He's down in Fort Myers back at school, so we're going to get with him a little bit later. But this week, at the beginning of the week, in leading up to the playoff game, Noah did some of his stats research, and he wanted to really capture what Antoine Winfield's season and early career has been looking like. And so we actually posted a graphic on our Instagram. You can check us out on Instagram at Dynamite Sports Pod. It's also up on our threads. It's on our X account. It's on our Facebook page. We started a Facebook page this week, guys.
Yeah.
So the graphic is up there, but I'm going to have Noah go through it a little bit because he did a little comparison at this point in the career of Winfield versus two Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and those two Hall of Famers we'll be comparing him to are Rondae Barber and Brian Dawkins. In their first 4 years, Rondae Barber had 6 interceptions, Brian Dawkins had 12 interceptions, and Antoine Winfield had 7. Barber had 3 forced fumbles, Dawkins had 7 forced fumbles, and the one and only Antoine Winfield had 11 forced fumbles.
Absolutely insane.
Barber had 1 fumble recovery, Dawkins had 5 fumble recoveries, and the one and only Antoine Winfield Jr. had 8 fumble recoveries.
I can't tell if the forced fumbles or fumble recoveries are more impressive there.
We're going to change up the order for a second. Dawkins had 3.5 sacks. Rondae Barber had 9.5 sacks. And Antoine Winfield had 15 sacks.
That's insane, especially when you put into context that he's a safety. He's not like a linebacker.
Oh, yeah. Let's keep it going. 0 Super Bowls for Rondae Barber. 0 Super Bowls for Brian Dawkins. 1 Super Bowl for Antoine Winfield. 1 Pro Bowl for Antoine Winfield. Dawkins was the only other one to have a Pro Bowl. And Antoine Winfield, out of those three, was the only one to have a first-team AP All-Pro. All-Pro.
So he compares favorably. It's early in his career. Barber was a backup at the beginning of his career. So Barber put together a lot of stats toward the end of his career, played a long career. So did Dawkins. So it's early, but this early for Antoine Winfield to have these stats this early in his career is pretty astounding, and
it's amazing.
Needs to get attention.
I mean, 15 sacks. Where else do you see
11
that?
Forced fumbles. Like, you're not going to see that from like any linebackers, especially today, I don't think.
Yeah, and his impact on the game, I mean, we said it earlier, he almost single-handedly won 2 games with defensive plays that were just amazing plays.
He has the game to replacement or whatever it is for baseball. He has that stat on lock.
Wins above replacement.
Wins above replacement. Yeah. There you go. Like, nobody else can beat him in that stat.
And I will also say that, you know, one of the things that Barber could hang his hat on is that he had 20 sacks and 20 interceptions. He was the first NFL player to have 20 sacks, yeah, 20 interceptions in a career.
Career? Ooh.
Yes.
He's close.
And,
oh, my God.
Winfield is already at 15 sacks and has 7 INTs. So after 4 years, he's well on his way to getting into that 2020 club with Rondae Barber.
Yep. And both of them are Bucks.
Yes.
I'm going to look up who else is in that club.
It is just
20 sacks, 27, or 20 sacks, 20 interception club. That includes Wilbur Marshall, Seth Joyner, Leroy Butler, Brian Dawkins, Ray Lewis. I don't really see any Hall of Famers.
No, the
Rondé Barber, Charles Woodson, Brian Urlacher. That's about it.
Most of those guys are linebackers. They're not coming from the safety position.
I don't think I just heard a single safety. If Ed Reed was then I'd say it was, Brian Dawkins is a safety, but.
Yeah, not a lot of safeties on that list for sure. So kudos to Winfield on a great season. And the Bucks get to play again. They are in the second round of the playoffs. They're going to Detroit. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit and our picks a little bit later. But first, before that, Trey brought us a segment. He's kind of compiled some information from Instagram, various pages that he follows, and has a segment that he likes to call Stats That Don't Make Sense. I butchered that last week and ended up making it the title of our podcast.
Levers that stat fat.
But I have really cleaned up my language. I'm in my diction. This is Stats That Don't Make Sense with Trey.
NFL Playoffs Edition. All of these have to do with the NFL playoffs. I didn't even do that on purpose. I just realized, there's all to do with playoffs. Let's get right into it. The last time the Lions won a playoff game, Madden was still on the Nintendo 64.
that's insane.
That's actually crazy. The Dolphins are the only team to not have a playoff win this century.
This century?
Oh my gosh.
The 21st century Dolphins have a playoff win. Tom Brady had 5 playoff wins as a Buck, and the Cowboys have 4 playoff wins since 1997.
That's just showing you how extensive Brady's career has been, or was.
I think it speaks more to how bad the Cowboys are.
Speaking of them boys, the Packers have more playoff wins at AT&T Stadium than the Cowboys do.
Yep.
That's crazy to me. There is only one current Lions player to be older than the last Lions playoff win.
Wait, you got to say that again.
Okay, so there is one current Lions player to be older than the last Lions playoff win.
Does it say who it is?
John McQuaid, their long snapper.
Of course it's the long snapper. So everybody else has been born since whatever that was, like 91 or 92.
January 5th, 1991, John McQuaid, I'm not sure if I'm even pronouncing that right, was born December 7th, 1987.
Yep, so he's 4 years older, but the rest of them are younger. That's a great stat.
Like, you know, that just shows you how young that team is.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
No, because those guys would be like 30. They could be up to 32 years old, and they would still be.
Oh, Lord, they could be.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not about the young team. It's just how bad the Lions have been.
Yeah, and I'd also like to say the youngest team is still in the playoffs, named the Green Bay Packers.
Texans are young, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Playoff record as a Lions QB, Jared Goff, 1-0. Matt Stafford, 0-3. I mean, that's not even on Matt Stafford. That team, those teams were just terrible.
Yeah.
For the first time in his career, Patrick Mahomes will be playing an away game in the playoff, except for the Super Bowls.
I heard that stat, and that is insane. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. He's always played in the friendly confines, Arrowhead, those great fans, and he's got to go to Buffalo in that cold and face the Bills Mafia.
Yeah, he hasn't been able to do that, and that's something that nobody points out when they talk about, Mahomes has always beat the Bills. He's always had a home crowd.
Tony Romo and Dak Prescott have a combined 4 playoff wins. Nick Foles has 4 playoff wins by himself.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so all those playoff wins, funny. All the Cowboys' playoff wins have come from the beautiful, I mean, not beautiful, I don't like him, Tony Romo and Dak Prescott.
Playoff win since 1995. Baker, 2. Browns, 1. Baker has the 1 Browns win. The Browns are terrible. I feel so bad for the Browns fans.
Well, I mean, they really had a great season. And
oh, my gosh.
For them to be where they were, their defense was outstanding and really got them there. But for them to piece together an offense... Missing how many quarterbacks did they go through before they landed with Flacco?
Let's see. DTR, Deshaun Watson, Was there one more?
There was another guy that started.
Yeah, there's another guy.
I don't know his name though.
Well, didn't Josh Dobbs start for them for a minute?
Did he?
No, he didn't.
No,
he started. He was with other teams, but same concept. But yeah, I mean, they were on their fourth quarterback. They lost Nick Chubb, who was going to be their bell cow. What a job to even make it to the playoffs. But what a shame they went down in flames.
That team is old, but they still got a good future. It's one of those weird instances. Jalen Hurts is 0-3 in the playoffs when his defense allows more than 7 points, including the Super Bowl. Okay, so 0-3 because he lost to the Bucks 2021, and he beat the Giants like 31-7, then he beat the 49ers 38-7, or something like that. Then he lost to the Chiefs, so that's 0-2, and they lost to the Bucks.
Wow. The other quarterback was Jeff Driscoll.
There we go.
He started in Week 18, but if that team had Nick Chubb, I think they were winning a Super Bowl.
No, they looked like a Super Bowl team the first 4 weeks of the season.
Nick Chubb was able to run through the ground. I mean, that dude is a monster.
Yep. Hope he gets back healthy.
I hope he does too. So you know how this is Patrick Mahomes' first time playing an away game in the divisional round?
Mm-hmm.
Or in the playoffs altogether. Patrick Mahomes is undefeated in the divisional round.
So he always gets to the AFC Championship when he gets to the divisional round.
Hey, no, you're forgetting something. Ba-bing. Thank you. Yes. The average ticket for the Bucks Lions game is $1,186. That's the highest priced divisional playoff game of all time.
Those Lions fans are pumped.
Eminem, Tim Allen.
Aretha Franklin.
Madonna. And then finally, to end it all, the Steelers have no playoff wins since 2016. That's their longest drought since 1970.
Wow.
I'm surprised that, Trey, you didn't mention that the Chiefs tickets were like $45 a ticket.
Oh, yeah. That was absolutely insane. Well, it's because it's...
Well, those conditions were insane. I mean, you saw people like... It looked like Oregon Trail with people slogging through the snow to get to their
seats.
They were
begging people to come to that game. They were, but
the seats were, the stands looked full. They came.
It's.
But I don't know who would want to sit in that when they're telling you cover all of your body, including your face.
Like,
I also thought it was weird that I saw like no snowballs get thrown up at the Chiefs game, but I saw it at the Bills game.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing though, is that Bills fans, you see, at the Chiefs game, they were all, oh, yeah, we're going to wear all of our clothes. At the Bills game, they all have their shirts off. Yeah. You see what alcohol does to people.
Well,
oh, yeah, there were Dolphins fans with their shirts off.
Yeah, there were a lot of good memes on the internet about how they rescheduled the Buffalo game for the safety of our fans, but yet the Buffalo fans are the ones that jump onto flaming tables.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's... Are you really worried about the safety of your fans if you're just, like, letting them...
Well, nobody lets them do that. They just choose to do that.
Well, like, it's
but I honestly think that was more about, like, the first responders, the firefighters, the police, the security would have to be working the event. It's not fair to them to try to get there in those conditions. So, right call by the governor, but one of those unprecedented moments we keep having in the last few years. So let's talk about some of these games a little bit more. Trey got into a lot of stats about them and his stats that don't make sense. Thanks for a great segment, Trey.
No problem.
So I want to throw, first of all, to Trey, C.J. Stroud. How about C.J. Stroud?
Dog. Rookie of the year. I mean, offensive rookie of the year. There's only one more candidate in my mind. That's Puka Nacua. He's the best rookie wide receiver we've ever seen. I think that's fair to say. But C.J. Stroud is the best rookie quarterback we've probably ever seen.
Steps into his first playoff game. First of all, takes over a team that had the first pick, a team that was, well, they traded for the first pick, but they were a team that really suffered the last few years. No one gave them a chance. He comes in as a rookie, takes over, 16 of 21, 274, three touchdowns, a QB rating of 157.2. It did not play like a rookie.
Nope. And he's also missing his main receiver in Tank Dell, who's been on IR for a couple of weeks now. He'll be out for the rest of the season, but he's able to throw to anyone. unlike other quarterbacks named Bryce Young, he's able to throw to anyone that they put in that wide receiver group. They are a very wide and deep wide receiver group.
Now, yep. Counterpoint, Bryce Young doesn't have anyone to throw to except for Adam Thielen.
DJ Chark.
Does that count?
Well, okay, we're talking about the Houston Texans and CJ Stroud, though. Okay, Forget about Bryce.
Yeah.
Nine different receivers for Houston in their 45-14 win over the Cleveland Browns. So my next topic, Noah, Joe Flacco. What happened?
You know, the couch potato finally went to sleep. And I feel bad for him, but I said it. He can't throw picks. He has the large tendency to throw into those small gaps. And it's not his problem, but it is. And he kind of needs to chill on it, throwing the picks. But it's his specialty. He needs to throw that deep ball. And he threw the deep ball, and it got picked. And that's pretty much the moral of the story. He needs to throw the intermediate stuff that he always can throw so that it can set up the deep ball instead of just throwing the deep
ball. Well, actually, the interceptions came on intermediate routes, but he was like, trying to squeeze
his trying to squeeze those small windows to Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, to any of them.
Are we just going to ignore that Noah called Joe Flacco a couch potato?
I mean, he just came off the couch. Am I wrong? He came off the couch.
He came off the couch, but a couch potato is like somebody who's lazy. I don't think he's lazy if he came in and played NFL quarterback. And
oh, no, no.
He won several games down the stretch as the – he did – literally coming off the couch, three other quarterbacks had played for them. He's the fourth quarterback. He wasn't expected to even play this season. Doubtful, I think is doubtful if he comes back next year as an NFL player, but kudos for getting him there.
I think people overreact when a player has a bad game. Because it's just one game. I mean, like, Patrick Mahomes has bad games, but he's still the GOAT, apparently.
Well, we wouldn't have podcasts if there wasn't, you know, overreaction, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And people were like, oh, it's Josh Dobbs. He's over. He was over, but, like, he was just a game. I still don't have doubts about Joshua Dobbs. I'm sorry.
You know, Flacco, it was only two interceptions, but they were back-to-back. They were both pick-sixes, and that really flipped the momentum.
Yeah,
it was
the fact that it was pick-sixes, I think.
All right, so back to Trey. Let's talk about a quarterback that had some success. Jordan Love, Packers QB.
I love Jordan Love. I mean, it's in the last name. You know, he looked immaculate. It looked like he couldn't throw a bad ball. You know, he just looked great out there.
Virtually the same numbers as Stroud. Both of them were 16 like, of 21. Jordan Love had 272, 2 yards less than Stroud. Both had three touchdowns. QB rating 157.2. But I don't think anybody really thought that Jordan Love was going to come out. You know, we're talking about the guy who's following Rodgers, the guy who's following the guy who's following the guy. And it looks like the Packers have another generational quarterback on their
team. I mean, it's just crazy. What... teams are going to start copying what the Packers are doing in their quarterback room. Three straight Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Certainly looking like that. It's the first starting season for Love, but certainly a fantastic run he's had. But not to be overshadowed, you know, I think the Packers were really driven also by the presence of Aaron Jones, a fully healthy Aaron Jones. He had three touchdowns himself, 118 yards, and they definitely stomped the Cowboys. The Cowboys got some late garbage touchdowns that made it look closer than the game really was. It was well in hand. The Packers had their backups in. The Cowboys started to climb back in there. But back to Noah. Cowboys, what's next?
If I'm the Cowboys, first off, why do you still have that coach? He is terrible.
We're talking about Mike McCarthy.
Yep, Mike McCarthy needs to leave. I mean, you get a team to the playoffs, you're a 10-win team for how many straight years, and you fail every single time. It's not a consistent team, first, and they're not able to keep this consistency. And then second off, Prescott shouldn't stay either. Prescott, he may have good stats, but that is only because he has good receivers named CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks, and both of them can really throw or really catch the ball. They're fast and they're electric. All he has to do is throw the short intermediate stuff. As Cam Newton said, I will quote him, he's just a guy who knows how to throw the ball. That's all he needs to do. He's a game manager. That's all he does. And at this point, a game manager, yes, they're good. They'll get you to the playoffs, but they're not going to win you a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes, he can manage a game, and then when it gets out of hand, he can come back. But Dak Prescott can't do that.
Well, Prescott is in the final year of his contract, so it remains to be seen what happens with him. They have not signed an extension for him. But interestingly, this week, everyone was expecting Jerry Jones to bring in and wine and dine Bill Belichick, the biggest free agent coach there's ever been. And no sign of that. In fact, it looks like a vote of confidence for one more year of Mike McCarthy. Shocking from Jerry, because Jerry seems to want to, you know, make changes more than he changes his underwear. But it looks like he's going to ride with McCarthy again for another year.
Can I just say that Cam Newton was right about all of his game manager takes, except for Jared Goff.
He also claimed it about Brock Purdy.
All right. Well, let's move back to Trey. And Trey, talk to us about the Dolphins. We were so pumped about the Dolphins. I think three of us out of four picked the Dolphins as winners. And
I mean, Tua, he just has some of the worst decision-making I've ever seen. I mean, why are you throwing it to your fourth wide receiver named Chase Claypool into double or triple coverage almost? I'm flabbergasted. That's the only word I can use.
So the Dolphins were a big disappointment for us. Of course, they were dealing with the cold, but so were the Chiefs. The Chiefs seemed to be able to throw it around just fine. We really thought the Dolphins would lean on that running game, and didn't seem like they did that.
Here's what I have to give for the Dolphins. The amazing Dolphins who's put up 70 on the Denver Denver Broncos. I've clicked the wrong button. There we go.
Well, that was such a promising early season game, and everybody thought really the Dolphins were going to roll everyone, but Denver turned out to not be that bad, and the Dolphins had a great season, but to come up short, they look like a team that could be special, and you know, now they're home in the second week of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And a very excited city is the city the Bucks are traveling to, Detroit. Noah, talk to us about the excitement in Detroit.
They finally get to be excited. They've waited this whole time. Eminem finally gets his day. Matt Stafford can finally say, hey, I gave them a chance at the playoffs, at the Super Bowl. And they have that chance, and I, sadly, as a Bucks fan, I think they're going to take it and run with it. But it's a really good team, and I'm, as a local Lions enthusiast, I hope for the best for them. I think they have a great chance at this Super Bowl.
Well, I don't hope for the best for them. I hope that the Bucks stomp them. I hope that Todd Bowles brings the blitz, takes Jared Goff off his mark, and gives the Lions all that they can handle. So, but it was very happy to I remember the last Detroit playoff win back in '91. Quarterback Eric Kramer, running back Barry Sanders, and as a long suffering Bucks fan, I felt every moment of those Lions fans crying and cheering their team on as they took a knee at the end of that game. So kudos to them, but the Bucks are going to come ready.
Yeah, Vita Vea is going to get in that backfield.
So we're going to move into our picks for this week. But first, let's start with a recap of last week. Last week, we picked all six playoff games, each of us. We also picked from the cursed hat of Wander Franco. And so as we look at the records, our bottom feeder in the picks was me. I thought I really reached with the Steelers. I thought, you know, hey, let's be bold and pick an upset. But apparently I picked all the wrong teams. I was 1-6. Tyler and Noah both came out at 4-3. They had a lot of the same picks, so good job with you guys.
Oh, I'm messing up today.
Noah's engineering for the first time without Tyler being here, so you're doing fine, Noah. Trey was our podcast champion. Trey had 5 wins, 2 losses. The only games he got wrong was he had the Browns over the Texans and the Cowboys over the Packers. But other than that, Trey, congrats. You're the champ.
I'm built like that.
So we also we're gonna try to figure out how soon we want to talk to Cousin Zach in a later segment. Cousin Zach is our 8-year-old cousin, my nephew, the boy's cousin, and so I saw him over the weekend, and I asked him to give me his picks. And Zach, going down the line, when I pulled up the picks that he had given me, Zach was 6-0, guys. He picked every single playoff game right.
Yeah.
And I thought I was built like that. I hope I can bring the success that Zach has one day. But
so a little later in the podcast, we're going to get Zach in here, and we're going to get him to give us his picks for the divisional round. But right now, with Trey and Noah, we're going to go ahead and go around, and we are going to start with our cursed hat picks. Once again, this is the cursed hat that was a giveaway the day that Wander Franco was discovered to have...
He who engaged, shall not be named.
Engaged in his in some misconduct that is going to put him away in jail for a long, long time. And so we have some basketball random teams in there. So Noah is rustling it around, and he is going to pull a name.
It's time. All right. Give me this. And give me the Bulls. Let's see. Who are the Bulls playing?
They're playing the Grizzlies.
Oof. Yeah, we're going to take the Bulls.
You want the ESPN matchup predictor?
Yeah, give me that.
ESPN has the Bulls winning at with a 59.2% chance of winning.
All right. So now, next up is Trey pulling from the cursed hat.
Let me see the cursed hat. The ASMR for the people at home. I'm sorry. I'll stop. Ooh, the Jazz.
Let's go see who the Jazz are playing.
They playing the Rockets. Oh, give me that. I mean, I'm a betting man. Give me the Jazz.
All right. So Trey has the Jazz over the Rockets. So now it's Dad's turn here. I just dumped one on the ground. Okay, when you pick it, you can't put it back. That's the Jazz. I can't have it.
Oh, my bad.
So, all right, we are going to pick. Dad has... the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ooh.
I think that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, they're really good.
Giannis
and Dame. On Monday night, the Bucks are playing the Detroit Pistons.
I will tell you that to the bank. Man, I might have to put something on that one.
Everyone has picked the Pistons game every single week.
All right. And that seems to be pretty close to as close as you can get to a lock in the NBA.
Yeah.
All right, so now we are moving to the NFL playoff divisional round starting on Saturday. And so the first game is going to be the Texans and the Ravens. Noah, what you got?
Give me Lamar. I mean, come on. He's so good, and he's so fast. He's the MVP. And if you say otherwise, you're saying that's Brock Purdy. And again, he's a game manager. Trey?
You know what? Give me the Ravens. I love the Texans. I love what they're doing. Young coach, young quarterback, very overall young team. But the Ravens are just better.
OBJ is going to get another ring.
That defense is monstrous. I mean, you heard the stats last week that I said him. Leads in takeaways, least amount of points per game allowed. No sacks in the NFL. Just give me the Ravens.
Yeah, CJ Stroud is going to face a real defense this week.
I believe the Ravens are probably the most complete team in the NFL at this point, so I am taking the Ravens as well. We move to the Saturday night game. Packers traveling to the 49ers. Jordan Love, coming off his great game against the Cowboys, is moving out west. Noah.
You know, out west, the underrated quarterback has won for a while. Brock Purdy, you know, he's pretty good. And they used to have Colin Kaepernick, and he was pretty good. So give me Jordan Love.
I just don't know. You see, the Packers, they look good, but it's the Niners are just an overall better team.
So
it's Niners, yeah,
it's
Niners.
It's Niners. Okay, Trey takes the 49ers. Dad is going to take the 49ers as well. No more living dangerously. Sunday afternoon. Tampa Bay travels to that excited city of Detroit. the Bucks coming off their shocking win over the Eagles, and the Lions coming off their shocking win that was the first one in many lifetimes, many people's lifetimes. So, Noah,
who's your pick? I think that Antoine Winfield's really good, and as I've seen in the past, he can guard any receiver. And I think that's going to stay the same against the amazing CeeDee Lamb, or not CeeDee Lamb, Amon-Ra St. Brown. So give me the Bucks.
So I had a feeling when I picked the Eagles versus Bucks game because the Eagles were pretty bad, but I don't have that feeling anymore. Give me the Lions. Like you said last week, I don't trust the Bucks. Do I love them? Yeah. Do I want them to win? Yeah. Do I think they're going to win? No.
Do they give me heartburn? Yes. They are the Bucks. I've been a Bucks fan since 1977, and I've seen a lot of ups, a lot of downs, mostly downs, and I rarely do pick the Bucks because they have often disappointed me. So I'm very encouraged by what I saw. I want to see the blitz come back again. I want to see them get in Jared Goff's face. I want to see Baker just go off and throw the ball confidently down the middle of the field. But ultimately, I'm going to pick the Lions.
You both get that.
I will happily take the loss in the picks and trade it with a Bucks win for my own personal happiness. So. And the weekend closes off with probably the marquee matchup. I'm sure that Tony Romo will be on the call on CBS. The Chiefs traveling to the Bills for the first time in Mahomes' career in the playoffs. So we're going to start with Noah.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
You know, in this matchup, whoever's at home is likely to win. It's happened very recently and very often. Every time in the playoffs that they play, the Chiefs have won, and they're at home. So give me the Bills.
Bills are just a better team, let's be honest. I mean, Chiefs have not looked good at all. I'm taking the Bills. I mean,
yeah,
you know, most drops in the NFL from the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that anybody should be taking the Chiefs. It's just...
It's amazing that it's the same core that won the Super Bowl, but they have just not played the way that they did last year. The Bills have gotten... In the midpoint of the year, I was doubtful the Bills were even going to make the playoffs. But, you know, like some of these other teams, like the Bucks, like the Texans, they caught fire and they are surging at the right time. And, boy, did Josh Allen look good in that cold weather last week. He's going to be back in there with those same Bills Mafia fans jumping onto flaming tables. Give me the Bills. All right.
I think the Bucks are pretty good, and that's why I'm going to do my best impression of their stadium announcer. First down, Tampa.
Hey! We are back here, and we have two special guests with us. First of all, we have Big Brother Tyler joining us from Fort Myers remotely, and we also have the prolific picker in the family. We have cousin Zach joining us. Zach is 8 years old. Say hi, Zach.
Hi.
All right, so last week when we did our picks, as we referenced in the earlier segment, I was the loser. I only picked one game correctly. Noah and Tyler picked four games correctly. Trey picked five games correctly. And Zach picked six games out of six for the playoffs perfectly. So congratulations, Zach. You are the top picker. How did you do it?
Well, I mostly just picked the ones that I think the ones that are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just want